Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. Tonight we speak to Heather Reid, CEO Capital Football. But Heather wears another hat. She's the CEO Canberra United, our very own W League team. And the W League is the premier national football competition for women. Heather speaks to a number of issues around Canberra United, including the playing roster, and brings us up to date with arrivals and departures. It'd be fair to say, I think, the playing roster this season is stronger than last. So success at the highest level now is in real prospect. No pressure, Coach Juna. Heather also speaks to a number of issues in relation to the development of women's football, and in particular the Women's Premier League, which had such a terrific season just finished, including, of course, that fantastic series of grand finals at the Premier League 18 reserves and Premier League levels. I would like also to mention something about futsal. From previous interviews, you would have noted that we have taken an interest in Boomerang's Futsal Sala, an ACT-based club put together by Eddie Senator and Tristan Collins. They campaign in the New South Wales Futsal Super League, a really tough competition. Now, last weekend, on Saturday, they played the West City Crusaders, very strong outfit. The games were played at Tuggeranong, started at 12:30, went all the afternoon. Under-12s, under-14s, under-16s, youth, open, men's and women's. The futsal was of very high quality. All games were very closely contested. And, to my delight, there was a pretty good crowd. Perhaps the message is starting to get around. If you want to see really top-class futsal, go and watch the Boomerangs home games played at Tuggeranong. Now, they're away this weekend, but following that, they're back for 3 home games in a row on Saturdays. Get yourself there. To close, I have a short extract from a lengthy interview done with Ed Hollis, the head coach of Woden Valley Women's Football Club. It would be no exaggeration to say that Woden Valley Women's Football Club have set the bar quite high for other clubs to follow. Their organisation, their clear-mindedness, their 3-year strategic plan, the level of communication and cohesion, and a one-club playing system and style has meant that they have gathered momentum throughout the season, and they still think they've got a fair way to go. And they probably have, but they're right on track to do it. This is the way to get yourself organised at the Women's Premier League. Matter of fact, it's the way to get yourself organised in the Premier League, full stop. Well done, Woden Valley Women's Football Club, players, coaches and officials. Now let's get on to Heather Reid's interview. I'm talking to Heather Reid, CEO of Capital Football, and the subject is women's football, and in particular Canberra United. The W League season is just about to kick off, and the Canberra United team was launched on Friday at Radford College. A very nice day it was too. Got sunburnt myself, but everyone seemed pretty happy. How's it looking? How are you?
Thanks, Peter. I think it's looking pretty good. It's this time of year that I kind of wear two hats with my Capital Football hat, but also the CEO of Canberra United for the Westfield W League. We're delighted with the lineup this year. If you want, I'll go through and name them.
Absolutely.
With number one, Lydia Williams, goalkeeper and co-captain. Of course, Lydia is currently on her way to Germany to play with the national team.
Of course,
In the game against Germany later this week, and of course was in that team that just played in the Peace Queen's Cup in Korea. Mm. Number two is Caitlin Cooper, a new player there, coming from Central Coast, but a defender and one that we need, given that we don't have Chung Yin Lin coming back from Taiwan. And, of course, Nicole Sykes is also carrying a bit of an injury, which means that Nicole might not be free until later in the season.
All right.
Number three, Lindsay Glow, also another defender and another one that we picked up from Central Coast Mariners. Looks pretty good when I saw her on Saturday, and I think she'll fit into the back line very, very well. Mm-hmm. Number four, a big signing there with Michelle Heyman, last year's Player of the Season, Golden Boot winner, and another Central Coast. She makes up the triumvirate there from Central Coast.
That's a surprise packet getting her.
Very, very good. We were very quick onto that, and of course the offer was nice enough for her to come and live in Canberra. So both Michelle and Caitlin Cooper are staying with the Munoz family, and Lindsay Glow's got a homestay arrangement as well. Number five is young Carlia Hogg, going through a few problems with Osgood Slater's difficulties in her legs. Oh, wow. She'll take another month or two before she's ready to play, according to the physio, but she's looking very strong and very fit. She just needs to be able to last a game, and she was in fact one of the few players that played throughout most of every game last season.
Yes.
Of course, number six, Caitlin Munoz. We finally see Munoz back on the field, and she's in sparkling form, as we've seen in some of the Peace Cup games.
What an extraordinary story, though.
Yeah.
Three knee reconstructions.
And one of those is an artificial ligament that she's got in her knee.
Oh, that's a new procedure.
New procedure that she had done in South Australia last year.
Yeah.
But looking at the way in which she's been playing for the Matildas, and what a great call-up that was, she's worked very hard to get back into that squad, and she's also on the flight to Germany with Lydia and the Matildas, of course. Number seven, Ellie Brush. What can you say about Captain Brush? A great trip, a great player.
Captain Brush.
Well, she is. She's clean them up, Brushy.
Yeah.
You know, she's a delight to work with as a captain, or in fact co-captain with Lydia Williams, and just finishing off some physiotherapy exams this week, and she should be mentally prepared, ready to go. Number eight, Tsingshu Oh. We see Ao, as her nickname is, returning from Taiwan, and looking pretty good and pretty sharp as well.
Hair was pink on Friday. What is it today?
No, it's pink.
Oh,
it's still pink. We're trying to get it to go
purple.
Green.
I thought purple last season was pretty good, actually.
Purple probably went better with the green, I think.
And, I think so.
But anyway, this time around, it's pink and a bit of orange. Number nine, Grace Gill, good solid defender there, and she'll be looking for a good season. Number 10 beside her, Emily Van Egmond. Missed a bit of last season, Emily, because she was in the Young Matildas that did a couple of tours during the W League, but she's looking strong as well. Number 11, Sian Machewski. Of course, Sian was the Premier League Player of the Year, and looking very sharp and very strong.
Doesn't she look fit?
She's fit,
wow.
Yes. Yep, she's fit, and
that is one buff individual.
She's a very strong critic of her own performance.
Oh, clearly, yes.
Sian, she puts a lot of pressure on herself, so I just hope she's able to relax and enjoy this season.
Oh, I like seeing her play. She's everything plus as a footballer.
Yep. Then we've got number 13 and 14. We'll put those two together, Nicole and Ashley Sykes.
Yep.
As I mentioned, Nicole still got a bit of a problem with her ankle, I think, so she's out for another month or so.
Mm.
And then, unfortunately, Ashley also hurt her ankle on the weekend.
Oh.
Mind you, I hope I'm getting those two round the right way, because you can never tell. They really are identical twins, but we're happy to keep
identical injuries.
Them. Yeah, identical injuries.
Great.
And look, another terrific boost, number 15, Sally Shippard. Finally, all cleared, all ready to play, playing well for the Matildas in Korea, and she's going to be a tremendous asset in the central midfield role. Last year's triple winner, players' player, sponsors' player, and of course player of the year, Elise Perry, the dual international cricketer as well. What a delightful player she is, and she's just a gem to work with. And
sensational athlete.
Yeah, terrific, terrific athlete. We've got number 19, Jenny Bissett, who's also a real journeyman there in the midfield, you know, she's not a flashy player, she's not a big, strong player, but she's a very effective and very very fit player as well. In Bissett, and another one who played most of the every minute of the last few games in last year's season. And number 20, the reserve goalkeeper, Jocelyn Mara. Very content to be, you know, sub there behind Lydia Williams. Mm. She knows that Lydia's number one, and Jocelyn is a great team player, and she's a great asset to the club. And later in the season, we'll welcome number 17, Leah Blaney, another defender from New South Wales.
Right.
So Blaney will be coming in during the season. And we've still pretty much got two places to fill. We had hoped to announce this week that Natasha Kai, a USA national team player, would be joining us. But unfortunately, Peter, she's now got some obligations in the USA that will prevent her from coming. But I'm delighted with that lineup. We've got young Grace Field and Sally Rogen as train-ons, so that they're, you know, they're only 15, 16 years of age. So they'll be learning from Ray and from the rest of the squad as the season unfolds.
Gee, they're remarkably good players too.
Young players and good players. Yeah. They both got a bit of a run on the weekend against Illawarra Stingrays.
Okay.
I think their mums and dads were the most proud people there on the sideline as they took some happy snaps of the girls in the green uniform, but all good. And, of course, from last year we've lost Thea Sletcher. She signed with Newcastle Jets.
Oh, is that where she ended up?
She's gone to the Jets. Snez Veljanovska has just announced that she signed with Melbourne Victory.
Really?
I think Snez was going to find it difficult to get into the starting 11 with Canberra. You can tell there's such a wealth of talent there that it'll be difficult for Ray to work out who will be the starting 11.
Yeah.
And Snez has got a good offer from Melbourne, and I think it's a smart move for her.
Yeah. She's a good player.
She's a good player.
Yeah.
She's one of the fittest players. I think she's actually a personal trainer, so you'd want to be pretty fit,
but she's
a good player. And, of course, good stock there with her family and her brother pretty heavily involved, the Veljanovskas.
Yeah, but I can see the problem in that roster.
Yes. Bronwyn Studman and Rebecca Keating, we've also we've lost them. They're studying in the USA, so they're not available this season. Mm. Ellie Raymond indicated her desire to rejoin the squad for personal reasons and, I think, work reasons. And Chrissy Walters still coming back from some injuries. Mm. And Chung Ying Lin, the Taiwanese.
Yeah, bring us up to date on her. She's a bit of a personality.
Yeah, she is. She was the player that injured her knee in the third or the fourth game last year.
Yeah.
Well, she's finishing her studies at a Taiwanese university this year, and so she's concentrating on that. But she did just play for the Chinese Taipei national team in the Peace Cup. So she would have been up against Sally and Lydia and Caitlin.
So she's come back from that knee reconstruction?
She's come back, Peter, but I gather from talking to Tseng Shuo that probably she's just a little bit lacking in confidence.
Mm.
It's the first injury that she's had of that kind, and she was only 19 when she did her knee.
And she's playing at the top level.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think probably she's just a little bit wary of coming back into the W League, where it is much more physical than probably what she's used to at home in local league, and maybe also in that in the international competition. Mm. But we'd welcome Chung in any time she's ready to come back to us.
Now, can we just go back to Studman and Kidding? They're on scholarships in the USA. It's probably worth the parents that listen to know there's some terrific opportunities in the US for young female players with good educational achievements and good football achievements.
That's right. For quite some time now, a number of players have been heading overseas on scholarships, and you know, it's just a matter of the timing being right for the W League and when they're doing their studies.
Yeah.
But a number of players have gone over and spent, you know, a year or two in the States and come back into the W League last year, and in fact even the year before. A number of the teams are studded with players that have been doing their work in the USA. In fact, I'd say probably also, you know, a large number of players from countries like Mexico and the Caribbean and even Canada. You know, their national teams would pretty much be made up of players who are on scholarship to universities in the USA.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, women's football in the USA really has its foundations in the university system.
Yeah, it does.
Going right back to when Anson Dorrance had the first national team and the World Cup in 91.
Yeah.
The majority of those players were at Carolina, or I think it was South Carolina University, and throughout the last, you know, 20 years have been pretty much the mainstay of the national team.
It's a fantastic system they've got over there, isn't it? You know, if you can handle the academics and you can, and you're up at the top level in your sport.
Football and soccer, as it's known in America, they really benefited from the anti-discrimination legislation in colleges, the Title IX legislation, which basically said that You know, this is going back to the 70s or the 80s. You know, if a college had a program being offered to the boys, then they also had to offer it to the girls. And soccer was just ripe for being able to be rewarded and having a women's soccer program when there was a men's or a boys' soccer program.
I think it's sensational. Could I just ask you to, if you can just bring us up to date on the Central Coast Mariners. Might come as a surprise to people who are only just clicking into the W League now, that Central Coast Mariners are not in the picture this season.
No, that's right. I think it's fair to point out that whilst the W League is based on the A League model, in that the A League brands and the A League clubs are behind most of the W League teams, in the majority of cases, it's the member federations like Football Queensland, Football New South Wales, Capital Football that support and fund and take the risks of you know, financing the teams for each of the Western
really
W League teams.
It is a different model, actually.
It is a different model, but at the same time, FFA wants to build a super club that's got men's, women's, youth, and that hopefully some stage, futsal element to the National League structure. But the Central Coast Mariners team, for all intents and purposes, was really funded by Football New South Wales with a little bit of support from the actual Central Coast Mariners A-League club. And Football New South Wales, for the last 2 years, has indicated that they weren't really that happy with the arrangements, and it was difficult for them to sustain an argument of putting $100,000, $150,000 into a team that they didn't have a name on, that they didn't really even have advertising rights to, and really, you know, had very minimal control over, you know, the player selections and things like that. But at the same time, the majority of those players were at the New South Wales Institute of Sport. And so the primary purpose was to make sure that the 40 players on roster at NSWIS were either in Sydney FC or Central Coast Mariners or indeed Newcastle Jets, because in the New South Wales Institute of Sport structure, they don't delineate, I should say, like we do between Northern New South Wales and New South Wales. It's one state. So there was a pool of 40 players that needed to be split amongst the three clubs. And look, I mean, I don't think the league is going to suffer from that. The quality of the players is now consolidated into the seven clubs. We're very, very happy that we've picked up Heyman, Cooper and Glowy. We think they're going to be standout players for Canberra United and for the league as well.
Competition this season has how many rounds?
10 games and then the semi-finals and finals. So it's probably played over 12 weeks, but there are 10 games. So again, we're playing four teams twice, and the other two teams once.
Yeah. Now, the comment that's made is, well, how come we don't have a longer season? Well, the first thing I can think of is that the member federations are carrying the boat here.
That's right, Peter. There are two main reasons. One is the costs associated with an extra two rounds, particularly when it is a truly national competition involving you know, Western Australia right through to Melbourne and Canberra and Queensland, etc. But it's also a timing issue. I mean, basically, it has to fit within the national team schedule and local competitions.
Oh, okay.
Now,
yeah,
the national team has just finished, you know, and that's the top 20 players in the country that all will be involved. It's one club or another in the Westfield W League. They've just finished playing in the Peace Cup in Korea. They're off to Germany to play World Champions Germany this week. They get back on Sunday. The launch of the W League is Monday, the 1st of November, and then the next game, the first opening game, is the 7th. So it's very, very tight for them, not much recovery time.
Okay, so that's the window that this has got to fit inside.
Yeah, and then at the other end of the season, the grand final's on the 12th of February. I think, you know, other, you know, local competitions are starting to gear up by mid-Feb, early Feb, and plus there'll be some pretty heavy commitments for the national team next year because it's the World Cup year, and Australia, as we know, was the first team to qualify for the World Cup, having won the Asian Cup.
Yeah, and players do need to rest.
Yeah, they need a bit of a break. So I think there is a good outcome for us in terms of the draw. For the W League, our last game in December is on the 18th, and then we've got a nice break right through until I think the 11th or the 12th of January.
Right, so we've got three divisions in the Women's Premier League. Is everyone settled to that, do you think?
Well, this is coming out during the meetings. We're concerned about a couple of the clubs because, of course, the other new thing was that the Premier League went to 8 clubs.
Mm.
We're a bit concerned about 2 of them. One, I think we can maintain its involvement. Mm. They need to get some senior players, and that would, you know, fair to say it's Brindabella.
Yeah.
We're a little bit concerned about Canberra FC and their commitment as well because they didn't have an under-18s and they're probably a little bit shaky with numbers for their first team.
Yeah, certainly.
But we have another club, that Gungahlin United. We're talking to Gungahlin United about coming in and,
there's a powerhouse.
Well, they'll be in a similar position probably to Brindabella and even where Woden Valley were a couple of years ago. You know, they'll have good youth and probably reserves, but, you know, they'll struggle in the first few years for their first division team. But I personally believe that we need to have a Premier League presence in Gungahlin, and we need a fourth club on the north side to go with Bellwest, Belconnen and ANU.
I think it's an excellent idea.
We lost Canberra City from Premier League football for the first time a couple of years ago, and that to me is something that should never have happened.
Yeah.
Now that Canberra City has an agreement with Gungahlin in the men's Premier League, I think we can see a stronger relationship there, and it'll be a CAC and Gungahlin team hopefully coming in either next year or the year after.
Oh, that's excellent. Mm. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, and it's important, I think, that the two teams that arrived in this season just passed continue on. Brindabella did tough it out. I mean, I know they got hammered a few times, but they did tough it out. And Tuggeranong, I thought, for a first-time effort, did a sterling job.
Yeah, I think Tuggeranong certainly has the depth within its junior ranks as well as the state league ranks. From what we hear, we're not that concerned, or neither is Tuggeranong, about their commitment going forward. But we really do want to try and maintain the 8 clubs so that there can be the 3 rounds and non-stop football.
Now, back to this Canberra United. It's looking a pretty flashy outfit.
Got the uniforms on the weekend too, Peter, so it looks even more flash.
Oh, yeah.
Yet another shade of green, but still the green team. And, I think, we've got some stability in the staffing with Ray Junior and Maria Warner as the manager, Paul Jones, goalkeeper coach, Wilson Lowe, the doctor, Julian Russell Jones as physio. And another good thing we've done is we're maintaining our position of having a female as an assistant coach. And it's great to see Amy Wilson working with Ray Junior in a scholarship apprentice kind of role. Amy Wilson is a former national player.
Yep.
That's
terrific, yeah.
Made her debut at a very young age. I think she was only 13 or 14 when she first represented ACT and made the national team at a young age. And she's ready to come back in and get into coaching. So it's great to see her there.
I'm sort of driving an ACTAS futsal team around in the Premier League. Looked like she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, well, that's part of her apprenticeship. Ray's entered the talent development squad and the younger players that are from ACTAS that are not in Canberra United. So Amy's looking after that younger group.
That's that underpinning group, yeah.
The TDP, the underpinning group. So I think there's we got Catherine Brown, and I think maybe even Field and Rojan might be in that. I'm not sure, but a number of the younger ones that are...
Not seen Phil, but I've seen Rajan, I've seen...
Palombi.
A further underpinning group of Senator DeAngelis and Armstrong, who are 13-year-olds heading to 14 next season. Mm. He's been using them, and boy, when they got on the court, they knew exactly what they were doing.
It's great to see that Ray Junior has supported some summer football, and particularly futsal, for that young group.
Yeah.
He does... appreciate the benefits of futsal and I think they're making a great contribution to the Women's Futsal Premier League.
Mm.
It's fair to say that we haven't enjoyed the same sort of support for the men's program, where there's been a bit of push and pull in terms of the players who are going to be trialling for an ACTAS boys scholarship and actually part of the ACTAS squad. Just seems to be a difference of opinion in the way in which the coaches, the respective coaches of the men's and the women's ACTAS program, sort of relate to or accept futsal as a viable, training and competition sort of opportunity.
It's such a shame because As I watched the game last week, and I just forget who Aktaş played now, but I was paying particular attention to the Aktaş squad that was playing. It seemed to me that there were three levels of player. One, the sort of W League senior player, emerging upper level of Aktaş, if I can put it that way, for want of a title, like Palombi and Brown and Rojan. Then under that, there was the Senator DeAngelis Armstrong, who were again in that training development role. So there was a terrific blend there. And as they played, I thought to myself, all of these players appear to be handling everything all right. Interesting.
And they're up against some very seasoned, quality futsal players like the Arusos and, you know, the likes of the players that line up for Boomerangs and a number of the other clubs. You know, I think it's great. I mean, we have 12 months of football. There's no shortage of competition opportunities.
No.
Not only do we have the futsal, but we've got, you know, 6-a-side, 8-a-side, 5-a-side, 9-a-side. Of course, we've got the summer under-20s men's comp. We've got the masters men's comp on the weekend. Mm. And I have to say, Peter, one of the most, emotional and really rewarding programs that I've seen running is the Football Connect program on
glad
Sundays.
You mentioned that.
For the kids with a disability.
Yeah, fantastic.
We got a lovely email from a parent today who brought her kid from the Goulburn region to the Football Connect program on the weekend, and she said her son, she has a couple of sons, one of them plays football, and she has a son with a disability who was so excited about coming to Canberra to be part of this program and to enjoy this with other kids.
Yeah.
He asked his daddy to stop the excitement because it was hurting too much. Isn't that gorgeous?
That's fantastic.
So Sunday mornings, 9:30, go out to Hawker Football Club and just see what we're doing for kids with a disability, and it's just a wonderfully inspiring program.
And while we're on the subject of football in different spots, the Steve Arnott Challenge. Well, what a great thing that is.
Yeah, very important tournament, raises some money and also, helps us to remember, Steve Arnott.
Yeah, every parent's worst nightmare,
losing
a young fella like that. But out of this comes a fundraising activity that...
It has a bit of football and fitness and friendship and family all together.
And does some good in the oncology ward at Canberra Hospital.
That's right.
Perfect. Football.
Well, we shouldn't forget also the referees, I suppose. They had their annual Canwarra Cup competition 2 weekends ago, but maybe we shouldn't talk about that because Canberra lost it to Illawarra. lost their annual cup.
Oh, my goodness. So, Canberra United. Yeah. Well, great season ahead. 5 home games.
Mm-hmm. 4 televised games too, Peter.
Oh, that's even
4
better.
Televised games, live on ABC One. We've got 2 televised games at home and 2 away.
Mm.
All the details are on the canberraunited.com.au website.
Yep.
Check out the website on a regular basis. There's, we're by far and away the best managed club in that respect, and you can see updated news
That's
all
important.
The time.
Yep.
I do still need to find a few sponsors, so if there's anybody out there that you'd like to put some money forward as a Business United sponsor for $2,500 or... We've still got front or back of short, so you can be in front with Canberra United or get behind Canberra United for a very reasonable fee of $10,000.
It's a seriously worthy cause because these girls are taking on a full professional footballer's load and they don't earn out of this.
They're training 5 times a week on the field, in the gym. Ray Jun is a pretty hard taskmaster, and at the end of it, you're quite right, they're all amateurs. And they do it for the love, and hopefully for a lot of them, the opportunity to play for the national team and go on. I mean, we've got some young players there that have the next 15 years ahead of them as top level players, and it's great to see that a 26-year-old like Caitlin Munoz is providing a great role model for the younger ones like Hogg and Sykes.
Yeah.
And you couldn't ask to play with a better group of players.
That's a good note to end on. Thanks, Heather.
My pleasure.
I'm speaking to Ed Hollis, the head coach of Woden Valley Women's Football Club, and they've just come off a stellar season, and we thought we might catch up with Ed after the grand finals. There's been time to reflect on the season proper and stop celebrating, I suppose. How are you going, Ed?
Yeah, very good, Peter, very good.
And I take it people are getting their lives back in order after a long football season?
Well, I guess a little hard with our team because I think we only had three drinking age in the final 16 that were on the,
well said.
The squad, so we ended up sort of going back to a restaurant, and I think everyone, we were looking for more of the good breeze to go back to rather than the pub, but I think the girls did, they did celebrate in their own ways, and there were some really emotional kids there, and they had a great time afterwards, that's for sure.
If we just take ourselves back to the grand final, I know one game's not everything in a season, but it exemplified just what had been going on at Woden Women's Football Club in the Premier League. Now you've had time to reflect back on it. What were the outstanding features of the season?
Well, I think the really, I guess for us it was a learning season this year, and we've always looked at it, the coaches looked at it as a learning season, and we tried to introduce the 1-4-3-3 this year, and
yep.
It didn't work very well in the Fed Cup final, as everyone saw, and we got absolutely pumped by Bell West, who were certainly much superior on the day. And then we just, you know, again, it was at the time most of the players were very anti the system. They didn't want to play that way. They wanted to go back with a normal way of playing with a sweeper at the back. And so it took the coaching staff a lot of convincing. And slowly throughout the season, the players eventually bought into the fact that this was the way to play and it was the way that suited Woden and the type of players that we had. And we could play a very good, attractive brand of football with this. And it, and very, very slowly we got better and better and better. And I think our results against Bell West, who are certainly the yardstick, and certainly, I mean, they won the minor premiership and they certainly deserved that. They were the yardstick, and every time we played them, we got better and better and better. And I really did think that towards the end of the season, we had the momentum going. And, you know, it came out that way for us in the grand final, and it was a fantastic game. But so for us as a coaching staff, that was probably the main thing, that it did take a long while for the players to buy in and realise that this was the system for us to play. And in the end, I think they're all happy to play that system now. And there was one stage of the year I tried to switch them back to a 4-4-2, and they were lost. So I think it's ingrained there now, and we just need to keep pushing that system throughout, you know, the rest of our teams as well.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da. Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town.